Britain's least successful former Prime Minister.
I love sport. I can't wait to watch the big frisbee.
The discus. Attempting to get back to the top with the help of his dedicated staff.
You mean reinstalling Mr. Tobin as Prime Minister and the imprisonment of everyone who doubted him?
Starring Miles Jupp, Emma Siddy, Justin Edwards and Ingrid Oliver.
It looks like there are actually quite a lot of important people here. I just saw Paula Radcliffe in the toilets.
Well, that's progress. Glad she started using them.
The new series of Party's Over on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds. Friday night's 6:30 comedy.
BBC Radio 4. Time to head to Malvern for some messing about.
We present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
Hello, and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us this week from the historic spa town of Malvern. And if you want to visit the historic spa, it's on the Pickersley Road next to the historic Tesco Express. It's believed to have been St. Oswald who first put Malvern on the map when, in the 12th century, he discovered what he described as powerful springs, and thus the town's trampoline industry was born. Great Malvern's Priory has the largest set of 15th century stained glass windows in the UK, a consequence of Great Malvern having the UK's laziest window cleaners. The famous Worcester sauce was invented in nearby Worcester. It's a spicy condiment used in savoury dishes, which, according to Wikipedia, was invented by two chemists, Bruce Lee and Reggie Perrins. The Worcestershire Beacon is the highest point in the county. It's been claimed that the summit of the Worcester Beacon overlooks 15 counties and that on a reasonable day, you can see as far as Birmingham and Coventry. On a good day, you can't see them at all. The most prominent stop on the way up the Worcestershire Beacon is St Anne's Well, a natural spring. It's said Queen Victoria swore by these waters, her exact words being, "F*** me, how much?" One of Malvern's most famous sons is the BBC's own Evan Davis. The renowned broadcaster says he enjoyed a happy childhood, playing in the Worcestershire countryside and exploring the extensive caves of the Malvern Hills, until, of course, Bilbo Baggins stole his precious ring. The River Severn flows through the county of Worcestershire, and although the river is heavily affected by sewage spills, every year surfers gather to be carried along by the tidal phenomenon known as the Severn Bore. I say carried, it's more flushed, really. Talking of Severn Bores, let's meet four of them. On my right, please welcome Marcus Brigstock and Rachel Paris. And on my left, Rory Bremner and Graham Garden. And taking her place at the desk next to me to enjoy an evening of scoring, please welcome the ever delightful Samantha. Well, let's begin at the beginning with a game about opening lines. One of the hardest parts of writing a book is creating an opening that immediately engages the reader. For example, it was a bright, cold day in April and the clocks were striking 13. An opening line I'm sure you'll all recognise from the biography of Gerald Ratner. But not all openings can be as good as that. So in this round, teams, I'd like you to provide examples of first lines to well-known works likely to have been rejected by their publishers. Marcus, you can start.
Yeah, this is from Bleak House by Charles Dickens. The young man approached them, his eyes dead, his smile forced.
Have you ever been to a harvester before?
Rachel.
50 Shades of Grey by E.L. James.
If we must, we must, she said, but the light's going off and my jumper's staying on.
Rory.
The Old Man of Loch Nagar by His Royal Highness Prince Charles. Once upon a time, there was a handsome prince. Then he met Jeffrey Epstein.
And Graham.
This is A Tale of Two Cities by Charles Dickens. As I mounted the scaffold, I thought, on balance, it was the worst of times.
This is a draft of Dr. No by Ian Fleming.
Congratulations, Bond, said M proudly. You've completed the online sexual harassment workshop.
As Warhorse by Michael Morpurgo. Albert, said the farmer, you do realise it's five blokes and a big puppet.
Robinson Crusoe by Daniel Defoe. Whose is this footprint in the sand? Wondered Crusoe. Buggered if I know, said the deck chair attendant.
Lady Chatterley's Lover by D.H. Lawrence. Lord Chatterley smiled. These little blue pills really do the business, he said.
Well, this next round is called One Song to the Tune of Another. It's a game which our panellists have been playing on, I'm sorry, having a clue now, for 50 years. Of course, my explaining the precise workings of this self-explanatory round would only be wasting time in which the panellists could be singing. So, I'm going to explain the precise workings of this self-explanatory round. A song is very similar to the game of roulette. The gaming table represents the tune, while the chips placed on the table represent the lyrics. Any combination of chips or lyrics can be placed in any arrangement upon the table or tune. Unscrupulous casino owners often tamper with the wheel, allowing them to rip off the unsuspecting punters. Have you ever heard of a more appalling racket? At the piano, we have Colin Sell. Incidentally, Colin tells me he's recently been described as an old James Blunt in Penguin's brand new dictionary of Cockney rhyming slang. Okay, we'll start with you, Graham. I'd like you to sing the words of the TV theme from Spider-Man to the tune of By the Light of the Silvery Moon.
Spider-Man, Spider-Man does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here he comes. The Spider-Man, is he strong? Listen, bud, he's got radioactive blood.
Ah, thank you, Graham. Of course, without Graham, none of us would be here tonight. And still you clap. You now, Rory. I'd like you to sing the words of the Bill Withers classic, Ain't No Sunshine, to the tune of the Morecambe and Wise classic, Bring Me Sunshine.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone, and she's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away, I wonder this time where she's gone. I wonder if she's gone to stay altogether. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone, and this house just ain't no home. Anytime she goes away, and I know, I know, I know, I know, I know. Turn down lights again.
Thank you. Thank you, Rory. Your turn, Marcus Brigstocke. I'd like you to sing the words of Relax by Frankie Goes to Hollywood to the tune of Jerusalem.
Relax, don't do it when you want to go to it. Relax, don't do it when you wanna come. Relax, don't do it when you want to suck it, chew it. Relax, don't do it when you wanna come. But shoot it in the right direction. Making it your intention. Live those dreams, scheme those schemes. Got to hit me, hit me, hit me with those laser beams.
Thank you, Marcus. And finally, Rachel Paris. I'd like you to sing the words of Agadoo by Black Lace to the tune of I Will Always Love You.
Agadoo, push pineapple shake the tree.
A lot of people listening were wishing they could sing like that, Rachel, but then again, you'd only end up on this show, so what's the point? Well, the next round, word for word, is all about words. The history of our English language shows how, as Britain has been invaded over the centuries, so it has assimilated unfamiliar words and phrases in foreign languages, particularly Latin and French. Examples include per ardua ad astra. Work hard, and you too can have a Vauxhall. Quatre cinq, my cat can't swim. And of course, Chateauneuf du Pape, haven't you spent long enough in the toilet, Dad? Well, in this game, each team takes it in turn to exchange a series of random words. The job of the opposing team is to challenge if they detect a connection between any of them, OK? So I'd like you to start exchanging completely unconnected words, Marcus and Rachel. Rory and Graham, your job is to try to spot a connection, and if I uphold the challenge, I'll ask you to take over, and so on. So off you go, please, Rachel and Marcus.
Pot.
Beachwear.
Thread.
Frenetic.
Salt.
Stirrups.
Meme.
Peaches.
Limp.
Seldom.
Rory, limp and seldom.
Well, if your peaches are limp, you can't sell them.
Oh, Rory's on fire tonight. Or is that just wishful thinking? over to you, Rory and Graham.
Ready?
Yep.
That was my word. Oh.
Well,
Let's start again. Tablet.
Wallaby.
Pomegranate.
Serendipity.
Rhinoceros.
Rachel.
If you see a rhinoceros, then that's down to serendipity. You're very lucky.
Or you've gone on a safari.
Yes.
No, but that's the Serengeti.
But I agree. I think it would be serendipity. It'd be a happy chance, wouldn't it? So I agree with that. So it's over to you, Rachel and Marcus.
All right. Shoebox.
Fire.
Mature.
Slow.
Basted.
Rory, you came in with slow basted, I think.
Well, I think that speaks for itself, doesn't it? Yeah. I mean, yes, slow basted food.
Well, no, I agree. You came in there, and funnily enough, it was correct. I used the term funnily very loosely there, but no, you're right. So it's back to you. Thank you very much, Rory and Graham.
Again?
Yes.
Oh, that was my word. Trousers.
Oh, I'm afraid the whistle means that's the end of that round. Well, this next round is all about the world of medicine, which can contain some confusing terminology for the layperson. Last week, I was told by my cardiologist to go to hospital to get an anagram. And frankly, I can't make head or tail of it. Well, in this round, the teams will assume the role of doctors and patients suffering from an imaginary medical condition. And you can be our first patients, Marcus and Rachel. Now, the identity of your mystery medical condition is now being displayed to the audience via the laser display screen. And for listeners at home, here's the mystery voice.
Marcus and Rachel think they're bees. Marcus and Rachel think they're bees.
You must outline your symptoms to doctors Rory and Graham, and they'll be awarded points based on how accurately they're able to diagnose your condition. Off you go.
Oh, hello.
Do come in, yes.
Thank you.
Pop your clothes over there on top of mine.
Look, we're here because we're in a bit of a jam.
Yeah, I fell down the back of the radiator.
And I banged my head on the window about 300 times. It left my hair in a bit of a mess.
That's all right. I bought you comb, honey. The thing is, Doctor, I want you to have a look at this. I've come out in hives. Actually, we've just been to a festival. Spent most of it by the bins. Still, I love a dance. I'll dance to anything. Bebop, R&B, B-52s, Justin Bieber. BB King, you know.
I like Queen and Sting.
Yeah. You've always had sweet taste in music. That's what attracted me to your profile.
Yeah, on Bumble.
That's tough, isn't it?
Do you imagine that they think they're bees?
Very easy. OK, well, let's see what this one's like. It's your turn to be patients, Rory and Graham. And the identity of your mystery medical condition will now be displayed to the audience via the laser display board. And here again is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Rory and Graham are suffering from Piers Morgan. Rory and Graham are suffering from Piers Morgan.
Do come in. Sorry for the wait. I had a big lunch.
thank you, Doctor. Well, I suppose what we're complaining about is it's the irritation, really, isn't it? I've suffered with it on and off for as long as I can remember in various forms.
You know, I could be just sitting down and reading the paper and it would flare up. I get stress symptoms, you know, high blood pressure, feeling hot, having mood swings. Like I get really angry or feel sick.
Yeah, it was made worse by exposure to the sun. I go red in the face, eyes bulging, foaming at the mouth.
One time it made me sick just looking in the mirror.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'd suffer from a cough.
Oh, yes, a hacking cough, yeah.
Really hacking
really
cough.
Really hacking, yes, yes. I used to get it in the mornings. Every morning it would come on, usually first thing.
And then there's the weird thing. Last spring, it suddenly just went away.
Yeah. I think the weather turned against it.
But it was like a cloud lifting, and I had no symptoms for almost a year.
Oh, the relief.
But I started getting a few twinges a month or two ago, yeah. And now it's back.
It's back. Mostly in the evenings now, weeknights.
Mind you, I don't think it affects so many people now.
No. Well, I think a lot of people have developed an immunity to it, haven't they?
But I think people need to watch out for the early symptoms.
Yeah. It comes on quite suddenly. For example, you might switch on the TV and all of a sudden you get this colossal pain in the arse.
Well, it's a dreadful affliction. I think you've been exposed to Piers Morgan.
Very good. Well, this next round is all about attracting the youth. It comes with free Wi-Fi and a Nando's voucher. OK, teams, the round's called What's the Youth? And in it, I'd like you to suggest continuity announcements for certain radio and TV programmes that you think might make the shows more appealing to our country's youth. So maybe you could start, Rachel.
Rise and shine, art students. It's time for PM with Evan Davies.
Rory.
Hello. On this week's In Our Time, we'll be talking about the Battle of Thermopylae, 480 BC, when a rearguard action by Spartan soldiers managed to hold off the advance of a Persian king Xerxes in one of the key battles of the Greco-Persian Wars. That's the Battle of Thermopylae with Ryland Clark Neal, Fern Cotton and Big Nasty. And now back to today.
Marcus.
And later on Farming Today, how to get a full hydroponic kit and 50 heat lamps into your parents' loft.
Graham.
It's Gogglebox, where we hopes we gets lucky, spying on stay-at-homes and see them get a Netflix and chill with a takeaway, know what I'm saying.
Yeah, finally, bruv, an interesting sounding programme, yeah? Anal ISIS. No, wait, that's analysis.
So there's a program and so it's the Likely Lads.
And so, after hundreds of thousands of years of evolution, the planet faces its greatest challenge yet. Whatever.
It's the repair shop where they like get stuff and like people's bring in like stuff and they pimp the stuff. And when the people see what they like done to the stuff, it's not very good because it like makes them cry.
Viking, Forties, Dogger, Fisher, Soul and Bailey is the name of my crew, innit?
Mans and gals make up their own garms, and they try to be dench, but mostly well booky and like clapped and ting. You wouldn't wear them out, and it's the Great British Sewing Bee.
I thought I'd have a go, Jack, at sort of explaining in rhyme exactly how Desert Island Discs works.
Oh, yes. Please do.
For the Ute. Let's see. I've slightly remixed the tune. Good luck. My guest today getting cast away, only got 8 tunes for the whole of your stay. Man, them go to deserted island, never come back, man, the man he cries. Bass gonna come home, missing my music. It's alright, fam, gonna let you choose it. 8 little discs, better make them raves. Lose 7 discs, picking one for the waves. Gotta tell them better life you're choosing. Highs and lows and the wins and the losing. Bible, Shakespeare, book of your choice. For the sake of the rhyme scheme, pick James Joyce. Have big guests on the island before you. Listen, I play you, man, then floor you. Think you'll agree that they've all been lovely. Go right back to my man, Roy Plumley.
What you gonna do when the island gets dark? Son, listen to the Epps of Michael Parkinson. When you're on the island, when you get poorly, better get help from McQueen Sue Lawley. Kirsty Young sent Bear Man away, found luxury item, got in his spray tan, gotta pick something that you're preferring. Those are the rules of Lauren Laverne. That's Desert Island Discs at 11 o'clock.
It was worth a try. Well, it's very nearly the end of the show. There is just enough time to play a game of Farmer's Songbook. Incidentally, Samantha's been assisting a local gentleman farmer friend who, despite winning prizes for his magnificent English longhorn, has decided to wait for it, please. has decided to move into arable. He says Samantha's been a godsend, performing every farmhand job with gusto. Apparently they covered so much ground sowing his oats that by the end of the afternoon, all he had left were a couple of acres. Anyway, teams, in this round, I'd like you please to suggest titles of songs likely to prove popular with farmers. You can start this one, Graham.
My milkmaid brings all the boys to the yard.
Rory.
Something in the way she moves.
Rachel.
Do you really want to hurt me?
Marcus.
Who are the sunshine of my life?
Smack my pitchfork.
Good collie, Miss Molly.
Under thresher.
You can grow your own hay by Fleetwood Mac.
You're a pink toothbrush, I'm a tractor.
Bohemian subsidy.
We're lambing, and I hope you like lambing too.
Tilling me softly with his dung.
To every season, turnip, turnip, turnip.
I get by with little help from my hens.
Nay, lady, nay.
And heaven knows I'm miserable cow.
Hey, you, get off of my land!
And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the chewy travel agent of time cancels the dream honeymoon of destiny and the pissed-off passengers of posterity are forced to spend another night in the airport terminal of eternity, I notice we've come to the end of the show. So, from the teams, Samantha, myself, and our audience here in Malvern, it's goodbye. Goodbye!
Rory Bremner, Marcus Brigstock, Rachel Paris and Graham Garden were being given silly things to do by Jack Dean.